Craig?
I'm on.
Did somebody second?
No, we're needing, we need a second.
There we go, seconding.
Okay. So, I'll call Fred Monday morning.
You need to take a vote.
Yes, I was trying to do that, but then everyone, so raise your hand if you're for it.
That's unanimous.
Okay, so I think I have Fred's home phone, cell phone. But anyway, okay, I'll tell Dallas that when I find out from Fred, unless I have his number here right now, I can call him. Okay, so let's just move on. We kind of addressed this already about we got this letter from a lot owner. There's been a vote and a second on the motion to suspend camping down there, and I think that's a smart decision until we get this under control. We're asking for trouble.
That way we don't have to worry about any problems until at least maybe we can say we get ahead of the situation here.
No, they're just fishing, they're just fishing.
They're just fishing.
But we can't have it both ways. We can't have the camping and we can't have the rodents there too, so we gotta do one or the other. You know, the walking around the pond is one thing, but, you know, when you're camping right there in the middle of these things, so what does everybody think of that?
Take a vote on it. There's a motion and a second.
I'd like to make a go ahead.
How long are we thinking of keeping it?
Till we get them taken care of.
How long are we thinking it's gonna take?
I personally think we should wait till spring till we reopen it.
I think that's.
That would be.
I talked to Fred and told him we were gonna do something to exterminate them, he said you should cease and desist all camping until springtime. That was his advice. And I think that's good advice. Because we're not gonna cure them overnight, we're not gonna cure them in a week.
I understand that.
You know, so I think we, you know.
That's camping, what about day use, fishing?
Oh, you can park there and fish and just taking away the camping, and there's not a lot of people that camp. I mean, it's an inconvenience, but it's a safety issue too.
Right.
So perhaps we can start when there's no one here during the week to get around the pond.
Right.
Do those first. When the camping is closed until spring, we can move to the camping.
Yeah.
And make sure that we're trying to be safe around the pond.
Hey, Dallas? Dallas? Let's ask him about that, where, when they're hibernating in the wintertime, if those holes are there.
You can do it in the winter.
Yeah, we can, okay.
He said, year round.
So, see, that's something that we can do, you know, when people are around.
But when it's not snow covered.
Yeah, exactly, but I mean, we're gonna kill them while they're all in there.
Right.
I got a quick question. So in the wintertime, when they hibernate, they're actually in those holes?
Yep.
So whenever there's a hole there, if you blow it up, we're gonna take out everything. Okay, I don't want to keep you here, Dallas. I have to find out from our insurance Monday morning to make sure we're okay. And if so, we voted to buy it. So I get approval from the insurance man on Monday, I'll call you. And then.
Maybe we'll see you leave.
Okay, all right.
Anybody else want
one? I got you, Dallas.
Okay. Yeah, if anybody else wants one.
Go get a discount on two?
Huh?
No, I'm just kidding, I don't need one. I'd like to have one before.
Well, I didn't do custom work.
Yeah.
I do a little custom work on the side, $2 a hole.
Oh. Yeah.
I get paid for having fun.
You can blow up a couple hundred a day.
Yeah.
So make some extra money if you're.
Yeah.
You're broke and hungry.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dallas, I'll call you Monday, and I appreciate you coming all the way out here.
Okay, no.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, back to where were we on voting on?
On the camp, suspending the camping.
May I suggest something?
Sure.
Just if you're gonna continue to allow people to fish, they use those red flags and you mark every hole because they're gonna go walk from the parking area to the fishing.
Correct.
So they twist their ankle, you're right back where you started.
Well.
I suggest you put red flags in there.
But we've had these, I've been here 9 years and they've been there every since then, and I don't think closing down the fishing's fair.
I'm not saying close it, but I'm just saying mark your holes.
Well, that won't last, and there's always new holes coming out.
Yeah, it's not like they ain't digging a new hole.
It'll look like a Rose Bowl parade out there.
Perhaps we need to consider shutting down the fishing.
Yeah, the only alternative is shutting down the fishing.
I don't agree with that.
Again, I'm not saying you shut down, but you need to mark your holes.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna keep it open until you're done with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Can't put a sign accomplished.
Huh?
Yeah, just a sign.
Some twisting.
Enter at your own risk.
Well, we can get signs printed up, but I mean, it's fish at your own risk and can't, you know.
Go to Turtle over there, around there too.
Yeah. You know, that's where, when we get the machine, I think the first thing he should do is go the closest to the pond and try to, you know, get that area.
Work this high traffic area.
To the least used area, you know, but, yeah, you know, like I said, we can't have it both ways. Either we shut the pond, we shut down the whole area.
Well, why is this gonna take till spring?
Well, because they're gonna keep, first of all, you gotta get every hole.
Keep coming back no matter what, they're all.
Oh, I know, but like Mark's saying, it's safety wise.
Yeah.
So that gives us the time, I mean, from now till then.
Well, if someone is here to do it, I mean.
It's spring?
Well, if they're in the winter time, they're here, I mean, I don't know, it's a safety hazard.
Four and a half years, we've had one incident in 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Of my time.
I would think once we think we have them under control, we'll be real.
Well, we can address it.
Why don't we check for the next meeting?
At the next meeting, we'll see how we're doing.
How we're doing with them.
And we may be able to reopen in September.
The next meeting is the annual meeting.
Right.
And the picnic.
Be a good time to address that.
Then we can, you know, reevaluate how many holes have been done from now till then.
And right now, what we do is we can suspend camping until further notice, period. And that gives us a chance to see what happens in the next few months.
How bad we get, how fast we get them taken care of.
It's looking really good that we're getting down, and we can open it in September.
So is that what we're going on, suspend until further notice?
Until further notice, plain and simple.
The vote?
Can we vote on that?
I'm good.
Yes?
Nope. Is there a second or anything like that?
Second?
There is already a second.
We have a second on that.
I made a motion in the email.
And then Greg Smith seconded. About shutting it down.
So we're gonna close it until further notice, see how it goes, which if it does go well, we get started right away.
Back up. 2 months
before our next meeting, we see how it looks, maybe reopen.
Yep.
Correct.
All right, I'm good with that.
Does this guy have one with him now?
He did.
Otherwise, he's gonna wait 2 weeks to get it?
Well, he'll send it to me COD right after.
Which is like, what's his?
Cash on delivery.
It means we have to.
Yeah, I know.
Federal Express one day.
There's no law against it, right?
Maybe you could call him and ask him if he could leave one and.
Insurance.
Wow.
I don't see why your insurance would have a problem with.
It would be a safety issue if nothing else, and that's what we need to verify. But I also want to say that I don't think that if there are some board members up here and can spend, you know, 2 to 4 hours doing it, I think they can use the machine too if they're trained. Not just have Steve do it all the time.
Well, yeah, and I don't want him doing it by himself, but, and I'm not, you know, Chris can't just be the only one helping.
But if anyone else that's up here.
Right. Anybody that wants to can call Steve and say, hey, wanna go kill Dovers?
Right.
Yeah. Well, if I call him Monday, I'm sure we can get it before the week, end of the week.
Right.
Well, I mean, it doesn't do us any good until we have an oxygen bottle anyway, so.
Yeah.
Can we get a truck of gravel?
You'll get them in.
Well, we can start killing them right away.
Yeah, no, I know, the holes are all there.
Yeah, because we can fill in with the dirt around them anyway.
That's at least a start. Yeah, I can call and see how soon we can get a load of gravel in here, but.
So like that, why some are killing, some can cover, that's it.
Right.
If I can, I'll take some time off work, I'll come and help.
You can get a load Monday morning from PCA.
Yeah. So.
$332.
Yeah, well, we can do that. I mean, you know, like you said, it might as well have everything here. And then you can see how much you get as a bottle of oxygen.
What size?
Well, we need the smaller bottle like he had, just because of being maneuvered it around.
Not an E-tank, one of the smaller, I can't remember what size.
I don't know how many pound tank those are.
Okay.
Does it say on there?
All that you guys know.
That's about the three. I wanna say that. I know the E-tanks are the big ones.
I'll find out, Steve, when I call him, and I'll call you.
By the way.
Okay, so everybody's good with, we're just gonna close it down until. I'm sorry? No, just the camping, only the camping. Until,
Till we get further notice.
Now, where we at? Can we put up signs or something?
Well, we can, yeah, we can get, you know.
People that are walking fishing.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're storing that, the oxygen can be stored with the propane.
Yeah.
Has to be in a totally separate area, X amount of feet away from it.
In all technicality, all your propane tanks should be in the metal.
Cage.
Cage.
And that's what the insurance might say to you. You might need a flammable container, yellow, blah, blah, blah.
If not, I know where to get one.
Okay.
Also, your bottles need to be chained up.
Yeah.
They have to be chained up to a wall. Cannot have those laying around.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Well, the shed here doesn't have, that shed should have plenty of room to store stuff, is that correct?
Yeah, we can keep one in there, one in the garage. In the propane bottles, one.
We can keep them separate, well, like we keep the propane here.
Yeah.
We can keep the oxygen in the garage separated.
Yeah, as long as they're not the same thing. Okay. Rules and regulation update, that was the guy, or I guess, take that back. That on the website, the Park County website, has all the camping information about the LURs changing, and they are in effect immediately. They weren't till for 6 months. The only thing that was a 6-month grace to keep your trailer on. I was told somebody already here has been served with a 60-day notice that they had to move their trailer. And that the Park County is actually the one. Last week, Chuck Larmer said that they were in here on Saturday. The code enforcement guy was in here writing stuff down, so. But they, you know, if you notice across the street, they've taken that Connex right at Kathy Drive there in that little shed, and the guy across the street over here, they ran a lot of his, he ran him off and all his stuff, so they are doing stuff. But as far as changing our rules and regulations, they really say everything we needed to say because it says we follow Park County land use regulations, and that's exactly what it is. So,
what is the plan of notifying all the people with the trailers?
Well, we're going to put in the newsletter that, you know, they need to get on the website and read these new rules and regulations, you know. And Park County supposedly in the meantime is sending letters out. She told me that it isn't, this is the commissioner, Gina, I believe her name was, from one of the commissioner's secretary. She said, all the counties around us have had this for many years. That's why she said that they're not worried about them challenging it because the city attorney, I guess, signed off on it too, but they're not worried about anybody challenging it because they've already had the other counties have tried, people have tried to, and they're just finally catching up with it, you know. So, and she said they're not, this isn't going to change back. This is something just part of the future. You know, like I said, the other counties have already been this way, so.
Well, we need to remind people they can use the storage.
Yeah, that's where they're lucky here that they have it. But you notice on Elkhorn, the guy with the, on the curb there, the house with all the junk, he's got a sign out there you can store your trailers there.
You see his trailer out there?
Yeah. It's not what's left of the camper they shot up, and then he's got a trailer out there. You wouldn't want to like your trailer if you left it there, because who knows you come back to.
Steve, maybe you can, or I can email it to you, make it just a sign that says, please, you know, Park County land use regulations have changed with regards to camping and put it in there, you know, please review this Article 5.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
Go to the website.
And just let them know that.
And when Steve's doing rounds and he sees people, because he's talking to people all the time, just.
He can just let them know.
Yeah.
This area is probably going to fill up. I mean, obviously, it's on first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah, but they changed it back, remember, right before the end of the year there. They changed it, so no one ever brought them down. It's never been utilized, that's for sure.
And we expanded it, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. After we did it, no one
used it. We can get as many as we can in there, first-come, first-served.
Well, I think a lot of people don't want them in here in the winter anyway because of the mice and the rats.
Yeah, right.
Everything else.
Yep.
So it's true that as a board, we don't have to tell these people. It's their responsibility. We don't
have responsibility.
Yeah. That's our job to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We can point them in the direction of the.
Yeah, we don't have to. We can provide the information.
Just call Park County.
Right. Yeah. And they.
And it's still, are you? You told me September 30th. You wanted everybody to have.
It's within 6 months of
November.
Actually, 6 months of. When they posted it, and mm-hmm. You know what, I don't remember if the date was like May 26th or something.
May 16th.
Yeah, but it was, that wasn't 6 months, so the 6 months is before, and we're not policing that. It's, we're just letting people know.
It's the messenger.
That it's 6 months from May, which would be November. I mean, but that, then you get into the middle of winter, I don't know how people are gonna pull trailers out of there in the middle of winter.
Well, I didn't think there was a 6 month grace period.
No, they, Park County added on the new LURs, they put a 6 month grace period to get your trailers off. But the one landowner here, he said that they gave you 60 days.
60 days.
Depends on who's enforcing.
Yeah, I don't know, but everyone else I've talked to, no one else has gotten it, but. But he said it was turned in by Park County, not as a citizen, because I was wondering if there was somebody vigilante out there doing it.
You know what, I did print it.
On the trailer car.
Off of the website. So it says camping units on property with no legal primary structure at the time of the passage of these regulations are hereby declared a non-conforming use and must be removed from that property within 6 months of that date. And this is revised, it says '05-16, so. Camping units remaining on the property after 6 months shall become an illegal non-conforming use subject to enforcement by the county.
Do you own property in any amount? What are they doing over there?
I own property, I'm not in a subdivision.
Oh.
I'm just south of Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
So.
I thought you were in Indian Mountain.
Jim, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you guys get notification of new property owners?
Not really.
But yes, that is, no, we do.
Well, when they sign in.
It's the front, on the front page of the board portal, you can see all of the transactions that have happened in that month.
But that's one that gone through realtors.
When they've gone through realtors, yes.
If they gone through a private property, but private party, they usually don't notify us.
The reason I ask is that, you know, in times past, we've tried to work with the real estate people to advise the people, but they don't ever do that. And we had two trailers, both of them just on Zion Court, just east of us. And I was talking to the one Dennis Freeman there. They just bought the private property just within the last couple of months or month or so. And he said he was just gonna leave his trailer there, and I told him he really probably needs to check with the board and the county, because he's gonna get crosswise. See, here's a brand new owner that is gonna get crosswise somewhere, and nobody's ever prepped him or invited him or anything.
Well, that's because of the real estate agents.
But I've instructed a couple of them that they need to make sure they're telling these people that.
They don't, because they want to sell, yeah?
Yeah, well, now they're, the one guy, he's kinda worried about it coming back on him because of that, so he said, yeah, he's making sure they know, but. You know, that, I get calls all the time from people and.
I talk to new landowners all the time.
Yeah.
They go, I can't have a shed, the realtor told me I could, I can't have this, the realtor told me I could.
There's nothing that's, it's not our fault, nothing we can do about it, what's done is done, so.
Well, Cindy, I haven't been back on the thing, did they leave it with 2 months with a permit?
Yeah, you can get, what, 30 days with another 30?
Fourteen days cumulative through a year. That's what I printed right off, without a permit.
What about with a permit?
30.
You can, 30 and ask for another 30.
Consecutive, and you can ask for a second 30. But how the 14 days, who's gonna keep track of the 14 days?
But it's interesting, because they, you have to have a culvert, and you have to, there's all kinds of other rules.
Yeah, culverts have always been the rule, if you have to, if you need one for your driveway, Park County's always had that rule.
Okay.
If you're entering through a ditch, you have to put a culvert in. It's always been a rule in Park County.
Okay.
Yeah, next year will be a different story, but this year, we don't need to do anything.
I think, Steve, you just have to make sure that when people are putting their items in the compound, that you have their current information and fill out the storage.
But as far as like the 14 day thing.
They can't leave their trailers. Come next year, they can't leave their trailer on there for 14 days. And that's not, yeah, but they still can't leave their trailer on there for 14 days or whatever. They gotta take it down every time they come down.
But as I remember right, when we had that.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Somebody come up for a weekend and leave it here, and stay for the weekend and then take off and leave it. Then you're turning them in.
According to Gina, she said that counts as your 14 days. Every day that trailer's on that property counts off your days on your camping.
Well, and it says camping units must be removed when not being used under an active camping permit. So they can bring them up, but if they're gone, they have to take them with them.
But I think the my question is am I turning them in for a covenant violation if they leave them on their lot and leave? Do I get a hold of you and say, hey, these people, lot such and such, they left their camper on there, and they're gone?
We're not police.
Well,
you know, we've got to talk about that, because when we had that lady coming after us on sheds and campers, it was our responsibility.
It is our responsibility.
We looked the other way, and now.
Well, but you know, we looked the other way, and then we got the letter from the attorney.
So next year, we're gonna have to address it.
It is a covenant violation, if it is a covenant violation, because our rules and regulations state that our camping is in accordance with Park County land use regulations. And so it is a covenant violation. So yes, you, if they become a covenant violation. The ones that are leaving, yes, you are.
That's, I am just.
Yes.
Well, it counts for the leaving there, but it counts for the 14 days.
Yeah, every day that.
They can't leave it. No, they can't leave it. You have to take it with you. You can camp for 14 days, can accumulative through the year, but you can't leave it there.
Right now, as far as this goes, for this year, they can leave them on there until the fall.
They have the 6 months, right.
So that's good.
So may I suggest, that's because the covenant should be in coherent with Park County's rules and regulations. You gotta come up with some kind of a checklist that Steve can have. And once he does notice it, it's unoccupied, and then once he sees that it's been here for 14 days, unoccupied or not, then someone in the board gets notified, and then you can notify the Park County. I would suggest that. Some type, or you talk with Park County to how that needs to be handled, whether the code enforcement comes down and talks to Steve at that point, or how they wanna handle that.
But when I read this, if the trailer, if a camping unit, it's not 14 days that you can leave it.
Right.
It's 14 days in a cumulative year you can camp.
Correct.
Without a permit. If you can't wanna camp longer, you have to get a permit. So the.
But every time you leave.
You have to take it with you.
Now, how are we gonna enforce that? Because the guy could say, well, I was back there Monday at 5 o'clock, I left.
We're gonna have to do the best we can to enforce it. We've got to show that we're.
Yeah, we can't turn a blind eye, because we're gonna end up like we did last time.
So I guess my suggestion is be to ask Park County, how are you as an association to help police that?
Yeah.
Well, what we can do.
And let them explain it.
Right, what do you want us to do?
What I'm saying is what we can do is we can take care of ourselves as far as reporting a covenant violation, but we don't have to be the police for Park County.
The covenant violations are handled through Real Manage, so.
Right, so that would be our responsibility is just worrying about the covenant violation if they're going against Park County rules. Now, Park County has to decide if they're gonna come out and look for them.
Right, well, Mike, again, we gotta go back to how it's gonna be documented, who's gonna tell Real Manage, and then who's gonna go to Park County, and or if you are going to Park County, you gotta decide that.
Right.
Okay, anybody else, anything?
Yeah, I got three things. I wasn't here, but I had emailed about painting the inside of the pavilion. And I've heard a lot of people say that would be a great idea. So I'm gonna go back to that first and ask what the board thinks about painting it to brighten it up for the community and stuff like that. So I'd like to get a vote on that, what they think.
What's wrong with it now? Last
time once nothing's wrong with it now.
That was what
I was just thinking about to brighten it up.
That was brought up in the last meeting and everybody said why.
Because once we do that, then we have to keep doing it, keep doing it.
Why do you?
As it is right now, it's fine. There's been no problem with it. Nobody's complained about it.
Well, nobody's complained.
Right, but what I'm saying is, once we put a coat of paint on this inside.
Yes.
then we're gonna have to keep doing that to keep it up. Paint doesn't last forever. Now, granted, neither does this, but as of right now, we haven't had any problems with it. It's protected, it's inside. It's just, it's an additional cost that we don't need.
Yeah, we said no. That's everybody out with.
Right, at the last, that one meeting, we decided that we didn't need to.
Some other people asked why.
Well, I didn't paint inside my garage because I don't wanna have to keep painting.
Exactly. Chris's point there.
I've painted many garages up here and I've never painted them again. It's all done with exterior paint. It's never peeled or anything. I was just thinking of brightening it up for the community.
No, I.
But it's just an added expense that we don't need.
Right now, we're trying to focus on taking care of our camping area.
Gophers, everything else we got. Worry about than this.
I mean, maybe we talk about it next year in the budget to see.
Yeah, I mean.
Our priority needs to be.
Don't see spending the money on that. I'd rather spend the money on getting rid of gophers than painting this. That's all. It's an idea.
Okay, next.
I'll bring it up next year.
Okay.
Number two is that I read some emails about the charging of the pass for the camping. I think there's a little bit misunderstanding about what we're supposed to be charging on there.
That was sent out in the last newsletter.
I think we voted on it.
We voted on it. It was agreed upon.
The March.
And it was out in the newsletter, so everybody got a copy of that, so.
No, I.
We know what the charges are.
The charges, yes, the charges, but my, the question is, so an RV's there and he gets, if he's not, he's a guest, it's $40, right?
Correct.
And he's a homeowner, it's $25.
Correct.
But what happens if you put a tent there and I put more than one tent or two tents or three tents on one pad? It still be, it doesn't state per tent, it says per site. So I think that's a little bit misunderstanding there.
Well, but do you want one company, one family come in here and have 50 people and pay for one spot?
The way it says to me, the way I read it is that.
You know what, Jim, we do have to clear that up, but over the years, as we've talked about it, it's been one item per camping spot. It doesn't specifically address that clearly, however, and we may look at changing that. Or clarifying it because our understanding has always been throughout the years that I've been on the board was one item through one tent per item.
Go ahead.
One item per tent.
And I don't disagree with what you're stating, but if you look at your newsletter that you sent out and then you look at your up-to-dated current posting of job descriptions for the caretaker's duties, those fees are different. So which one of these documents do you want people to pay attention to? The one that you just sent out?
And
or the one that's still on the website that's not updated?
That one needs to be updated.
Okay, so.
It does need to be updated.
And so it does say camping pad. And then my question would be is, if you want to change it to say per tent or per unit, piece of equipment, so be it. But you need to be clear on that.
Right. Well, at the time, we were thinking only one person's going to be on the pad. We didn't think there was three tents up.
But things have changed. Times have changed.
The last year when I came up here, you had a family up here. Some gentleman owns a piece of property in Superstition. Both of the families had two units on one campsite. Did he get charged for two or just one?
Two.
He was charged for two.
Yeah.
And back to the price of the.
We have been consistent. So there have been times where we haven't been as diligent about getting all of our sites updated, and I agree that that needs to happen.
You know, it's hard.
I still think, and I know we all voted on this in Castle Rock, but I still think our fees are kind of high.
Yeah, but I checked in Fair Play at the one right on 285, and there's $38 a night.
But you're not a campsite.
We're not a business.
Exactly. This is not a KOA. It's an HOA. And first of all, Jim knows this because he called the insurance man about it. We paid $200.
You're welcome. Good. That's real good.
I didn't say nothing.
I did good.
Calm down. But we pay $250 a year just for the insurance on those things. We make $400 to $500 a year off of that.
It's like $360 to $450 over average.
It's not fair if someone's down there using those, and I own four lots, and I never will ever use those things. Why should me and everyone else have to pick up the tab for those? They should at least pay their own way. or we don't need them.
And it's just meant as an amenity, not as a revenue generator.
But you're missing the point.
We're trying to balance.
Well, you guys are the ones sent the letter and said we should be charging this and this, but you guys are missing the point. It's not a freaking KOA, it's an HOA that just an added amenity that we have here. But why should everyone else pay for those things when no one's using them?
Bill brought up the point.
Yeah, I know, but...
I just think it's the $40, it's a little high, if somebody wanted to spend a week here. That's a lot of money.
But we have fishing that people are fishing.
Yeah, and the fish are $4 to $6 a pound.
There's no license for the...
There's no lighting. Showers and everything else.
The showers.
Yeah, the fish, we pay $4 to $6 a pound for the fish. So, you know, if you got six people there taking 12 fish a day, you know, we're not making any money.
And, okay, let's back up to your May meeting. You made the comment in May that you changed it because of someone spending all winter here. Well, that's not your guest responsibilities, okay? And you upped your fees because it's supposedly an issue that happened just last year. Now you're stating it's because we need to recoup our monies.
No, because if you got it straight, it was there in the summer and he stayed here all summer long, and anyone that used the showers here always had to wait for those four people who are always in the showers, and they fished every night for their dinner, and they were working, doing migrant work down by Salida there, you know, and so, you know, it's...
But that's not why we changed.
No, we didn't. We don't want people to stay all summer.
That's what you said in your May meeting.
Well, but we don't want...
I wasn't at the May meeting, but that's not why we changed.
Well, then please clarify that. Was that not stated in your May meeting?
I don't know.
Yes or no?
I don't.
Correct. You don't know because you don't have minutes on this. Okay, it was stated.
Okay.
Duly noted.
Who cares? That's fine.
Okay.
So what? So, but I wasn't there, so I'm just trying to understand.
You're right. And I'll talk to you about how board scenarios should be worked at some time. So let's get right straight to the point of my letter, because I got to go down and run a business. I did send you a letter to what happened on our activities with our family. First of all, I want to bring up the fact that my son sent a letter stating that there were some comments made by our caretaker about another board member and an individual lives in this property. That bothers me. Okay. That gentleman is not the one that made the decision for us to move our venue away from him. Okay. In January, when we approached this in writing at your board meeting, everybody's like, oh yeah, God, that's great, you betcha. 2 months later, you come back and go, hey, whoa, we need $1 million liability policy. So I looked into it with your insurance company and others. And it came up to $220-some. Well, this was our kid's wedding, and they thought about it. And we thought about paying it for them. And that's when I said no, when I brought that to you at your May meeting. Okay. So at that point, my son had already committed to his friends and family that we'd like to stay here anyway because it's closer to our home and all everybody's activities. So they thought about the $40 a night, and they looked at the tent situation. It said camp pads. It didn't say tents, so they did have two tents on each pad. So according to that, that's why we based on what they were going to pay. Okay. How it was approached to our son that night, that afternoon, was unprofessional, very unprofessional. And on that same token, they were a little bit intimidated by that situation, and I addressed that in the letter. And I'm glad to see today he's not wearing his gun, because it is posted, no guns, and we do it anyway.
He's not going to wear it.
I'm glad that happened. So with that in mind, of the incident that happened with our family members and so on, I addressed this and I sent it to the board on Monday the 27th about what took place. And it was, so June 27th was a Monday night when I sent this out, because to be honest with you, I needed to cool down. I was a little upset, especially after hearing and seeing my grandson with a fat neck. And by the way, I want to thank the board for sending out their condolences to say thank you and I'm sorry that your grandson got hurt. That is unprofessional. Anybody got children here? Anybody got grandchildren? Think about that, okay? Wrong thing to do. I should have been notified then, or maybe someone should have sent an email saying, please ask your son how his boy's doing, and I hope he's okay. Keep that in mind. Then I just received this letter that was sent evidently last night, talking about how you're addressing the situations, and I appreciate that. There's a couple things in there I'd like to know, and you can address this at another time and tell me how that works. It says property owner is in good standing. I think you need to define that, because if I'm cross with somebody here, does that mean I'm not in good standing?
Oh, it means good standing.
No, I have the violations, and that has been in several
We've been using that for years.
No, yeah, they paid their dues currently, and they have no covenant violations.
Just, I know it's just a misprint, which put in here the email I sent on May 24th.
I have that.
But anyway, it talks about what is still owed, and until you as a board come up with true definitions and what you're going to place on your website and or mail out to your property owners, the remaining balance that I put together was I only owe this association $100 to my son that month. And that is due to what you have on your website and what you've passed out. If you disagree, you can vote on that. You still think I need to pay $340, so be it. But I guarantee you, I'm going to send out some information to every property owner here.
Well, don't threaten us, first of all. Okay.
Do me a favor. I have the floor.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not going to threaten you, Jim. I'm telling you.
Well, that's fine.
That's not a threat. You're a board, you're an organization, you're a professional organization. Fix what you have documented.
That's fine.
Okay? That's not a threat. It's a promise. I will send it out. I can do that.
You can do whatever you want.
So, you decide what you want to do with that.
Okay.
The other portion I have that again, it's very upsetting, is the rodent situation. You've known it for years. You talked about doing something in May. You did nothing. You still allow people to come here. And I'm being real honest.
What did you hear me say? I want to shut it down.
An attorney for the twisted ankle, because that's absolutely.
And that's, Mark, that's why I said I want to shut it down. I don't want nobody getting hurt.
Should have been decided immediately.
Well,
after this letter.
Now, have you, you were chimed in our emails. Who else was chiming in on there? Nobody.
There you go.
Me.
So that's what I'm talking about. As a board.
And Greg's good. So, yeah, I agree with you. But I'm one person of 11. And I apologize to you 100% for what happened to your family. That's awful. And that's why I'm saying we shut it down. Because I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
I'm not disagreeing, but we should have made a decision.
Well, I agree with you.
In case something else would have happened by someone else, I guarantee you would have real serious issues.
It's terrible that it came to this, but we've got to address it very aggressively.
So
if somebody trips on a rock outside, is this going the same thing or what?
Well, now you're
being wrong. No, I'm not. If your grandson tripped on a rock and hit his lip or something, would you be still as upset? And would we have to close everything down because of that?
No.
And get rid of the rock?
Well, what's the difference?
How is that different?
My granddaughter tripped and busted her lip down at the playground.
Okay, well, I addressed my situation. You as a board, you better handle it. Okay? And I'm telling you, you need to handle it. I'm saying you better handle it. Okay? Because it still is a liability issue. If you don't understand that, you better start paying attention to your covenants and your insurance policy. You are responsible for people out here. And yeah, if they tripped over a rock and they bust their lip, yeah, you're right. Don't give me a little look, okay?
I'm not giving you no freaking look, dude. I don't know who the hell you are.
With you as a board, you don't tell me what to do either. So you're not very professional as well. Handle the situation. Okay, handle the situation.
All I'm doing is eyeballing you. That's all I'm doing. Why do you think there's more to it than that?
Fix it.
Fix you.
Excuse me?
Fix you. We're trying to have a conversation here, and you're so, oh my God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to sue you.
Thank you for your concern about my grandson's fat lip.
I don't really care about your grandson.
Oh,
that's my honest opinion.
That's my feelings towards your board.
Yeah, okay.
So Mark, on the when you said there was a mistake about the May 24th, you sent an email to Steve through the Wildwood website, and it said, "Steve, like I mentioned at the meeting, we didn't receive our three passes for 2-262. Let me know when I can stop by and pick them up, and/or you could leave them on the windshield of the tender in Station 2 if you would mind. Let me know either way. I have informed my son and his wedding party about the pricing for overnight stays at the park. He said he'll get back to me very soon. Thanks, Mark."
Okay, you're absolutely right. That's when I sent that email to Steve, asking about
the passes. So you did know about the pricing, or you thought that there was a mistake?
No. I was told about the pricing that night when we had this meeting as well. And he was informed about the pricing. But you don't say camping with tents, and that's what he was told. That's why they thought, well, we can all save money. Two tents per site.
So, and they could have even saved more money by camping at your place,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. And they chose to stay down here by the water.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. I want to get back to the, do we have to address the tents? Because it's not clear to me still.
Absolutely, we do.
Do we want to do that at the next meeting?
Well, yeah, because right now there's no camping, so we can.
Right, so we can do that next meeting, but yeah. I don't.
We need to clarify it.
You know, one tent on a site, yeah, two tents, three tents, maybe not five, but I think, you know, more than.
All campgrounds go to, they charge you for add-ons.
Yeah, but that's, again, we're not, like you stated, they're not. So we need to think about that.
Yeah, we'll clarify that at the next meeting.
Yeah, it's only fair that we can reopen it by way.
Right.
I have no problem with two or three tents on a site and paying the $40.
Yeah,
I mean, because it'd be no different than tying them together, and that's one tent.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It just needs to be clarified.
Yeah.
Over the years, we've said this all along, I've said it repeatedly, as more and more people find out and move into Wildwood, we have to be able to address the questions and be very clear and specific about what the rules and regulations are. And as more and more people request and require us to be specific, we have to do that. And so this is one instance where it takes more than one or two people to make sure all the documents are updated, and that's again why we've asked RealManage to be involved. And we may need to go back to RealManage and say, you know what, unfortunately we have a website and we have a RealManage resident portal. Maybe we say we can't have volunteers doing the website because it doesn't all get done. We all have other things going on. But we're going to have everything moved over to the RealManage resident portal, and they manage it.
Yeah.
Then there's no, we're all volunteers. And
no,
obviously volunteers
and no confusion
can't,
that
exactly. And volunteers, we've said over the years, yeah, we want to keep the website. But guess what? It requires someone to do it, and it's not happening. So we go with a company that is responsible for updating the documents all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we've
that makes sense.
We've had an issue that I appreciate, Mark, that you've said, hey, all your documents don't match. Okay. Then we understand that.
Yeah.
But it requires more. It requires an entire board to be involved with updating all the documents.
And thank you for addressing that. And that's my point. So you're paying these people a professional group to do this.
But we're not. But we're keeping holding stuff.
Okay. So
we're holding stuff out because we want to do it.
Board management has got to make sure that they're doing that. And if they're not doing that, then it's your board's responsibility. So it's.
But RealManage is doing what we're directing them
only
to
what
do.
We've said
we're going to keep this out. We're going to manage our website. You don't worry about our website. We're not going to do that. But now I'm saying maybe we need to go back to them and say, okay, how much additional are you going to charge us to make sure to either, maybe it's no additional money because we're going to shut the website down.
Yeah.
And they're just going to, we're just going to utilize their resident portal even better than we already do because it's already out there. There are many, many services of RealManage that we don't take advantage of because we've chosen over the years to do it ourselves. And unfortunately, in a volunteer board, everybody's lives go different directions once we leave here, and it doesn't happen. So.
All right, my last thing, Jim, is that I'm sure everybody read this email that Land and Iverson sent to everybody. And what I want to state is, come to my attention, I'm sure you've all seen this email, that Mark Iverson's son, Landon, had sent stating the caretaker had made some remarks to Landon that Mr. Bogart has caused some problems. This isn't the first time the caretaker has named me specifically. It's disturbing to say the least and unacceptable. Would any of you allow your employee to defame your customer or your client? Apologies are apparently meaningless. I will not tolerate the defamation against my name. I will be damned if I let any employee defame me. This is not how an employee of Wildwood should behave. What actions are going to be taken to ensure this behavior is never repeated? This is the third incident pertaining to our caretaker. What action is the board going to take? Thank you. I will not have my name defamed ever again. I promise you that.
And just so I can jump in on a portion of that, it was Jim and Susan that recommended we have this wedding reception here down here.
We got mad and, okay, go ahead and finish.
They're the ones that recommended, why not have your reception here? And that's why we're like, yeah, that's a great idea, why not? And then with everything that came down, that's when we said, no, we're not going to do it. Let's just go do it at the pavilion inside the town parcel. Didn't cost us a thing. We didn't have to come up with any insurances or anything. And we donated. We're donated back to the organization for help letting us do that for no charge. But the point is, I'm not sure there was an email sent that said something about now.
You want a motion to adjourn? Second, anybody?
I'll second.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Did I move? Yeah. I like move every club.
I'm just so busy.
It's been that way.
I went down in the school for the last few weeks to get ready for finals.
Well, we moved into a...